You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball.
Welcome to the U Talk podcast. Fall camp has started and
woo-hoo!
Joseph and I are in studio ready to go.
Guys, we're so excited. There is the scent of fresh mown grass in the air, and I am so excited.
And just in case you didn't know, I'm Grant Bagby from Torn by Sports.
And I'm Joseph Silverswag, although you all know us so well. It's like we're old friends. So welcome back, friend.
And welcome to new friends.
Yeah.
New friends.
Yeah, there's lots of you, too. I'm sure hundreds of you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So just to give you a lineup of what we're doing today, we've got the quick hitters. Of course, there's some football in there. There's a little bit of basketball. And then we're going to talk about some recruiting news that's been dropping about specifically four players in mind, and you'll hear that. And then we've got some Pac-12 Media Days discussion. We did our podcast last week right before it started, and now we want to digest it a little bit.
There were a couple of nuggets, particularly from Whittingham's press conference, I just want to touch on.
Yeah, and then I've got one thing I'd like to talk about in regards to something they asked Chase Hansen about and talked to him about on ESPN 700. But we'll get there. To start off, though, we're going to be instituting the process.
Yes.
On Joseph and my yards here soon. And
when we say the process, this is at Cute Daddy on Twitter. He has just started a Patreon where he's talking about maintaining your lawn. And remarkable, really remarkable results for a lot of people. And Grant and I are both brand new homeowners with some new lawn care responsibilities ahead of us. And we are going to try the process and report back to you guys on it as we go. So yeah, I'd say if you're interested in it, go see at Ute Daddy on Twitter and see what he's doing there.
And he's got a link in his bio straight to his Patreon. And look, we need this help. We're both rookies.
It's bad. My situation is not good, I got to tell you.
I knew I needed to fertilize my grass, and I did that, but I did not know there was such thing as an edge guard, in case you don't know about that feature on Scott Spedders. And I now have a zebra-striped yard.
Because you get too much fertilizer in like individual spots and it kills the grass, or what?
No, it didn't kill grass. It's just that it blocks one side from getting fertilizer. So if you're going
up, so you're only
down,
fertilizing like stripes.
So yeah, and oh, so there's, you can see stripes where the fertilizer.
So this isn't like, if you guys are picturing the like you go to the ball game and there's the beautiful cross hatching and stuff like that.
No,
this is not that. This is the sort of bad version.
You daddy's got his work cut out for us. And the fact that we're coming onto the process is, either way, it'll be good. We'll report back to you guys, let you know how it goes. I expect nothing but from the best. So, and we'll definitely get some pictures, maybe some before shots of both our yards.
I don't want to take before shots. Can I just take after shots after it looks beautiful? Oh, my gosh.
Look, I'll take a picture with the stripes.
Okay,
and you can take a picture where you're at.
So I've got this. My front yard's okay. There's too many weeds, and it's not perfectly green. But my backyard's got this hill on it, and so all the water just runs off. And as a result, my soil's totally dried out, and there is this circle, like 8 foot, that is – it's not dead, but it's not good either on the hill. And I guess now that I'm doing this, we'd better take some photographic embarrassing evidence.
Hey, guys, nothing wrong with
it. It looks so good in the spring, and I was so happy with the lawn, and now it's not as good.
Now summer.
Yes.
All right, so – quick hitters. First up is some more preseason accolades. You want to talk about that, Joseph?
Yeah, sure. Chase Hansen was put on the watch list for the Werfel Trophy. This is sort of a best dude trophy. It's one of these great football player, great student, great guy in the community, all that stuff. So it's one of the better trophy lists to be on, I think. And Chase Hansen is on, as has a good shot. So we'll kind of see how it goes. The other thing kind of errata I want to talk about. That's errata, not erotica. Don't listen to what Grant says about my facial expressions. Is the picture of Zach Moss that was circulating on Twitter, and oh my gosh, I want to see how many retweets this guy got, because it's not just me who's like, oh man, that's pretty impressive. But he's just yelling at the camera and flexing for the camera, and he looks pretty built. He looks pretty much like like an Alabama freshman running back. You know how they have those pictures of like, what did this guy do during the offseason? And I'm convinced, by the way, the answer is things they're not allowed to do. I think they if I were a college coach and I wanted my players to use performance-enhancing substances, what I would do is I would recruit them and I would sign them. And then I would say, before they ever get on campus, I would say, you know who you need to talk to? You need to talk to this guy. He's a great football trainer. He'll get you in great shape. And I know, and the football trainer knows, that they're not necessarily going to be doing things the right way, but because it's before they get on campus – and there's technically no oversight, it's really a gray area where you could have a lot of stuff going into the veins and bellies of these kids that shouldn't be. And I think it is notable that at some of these premier programs, these 18-year-old kids commit looking like powerful 18-year-old athletes and then come to their first camp looking, I mean, just ridiculously large in a way that defies, you know, normal human anatomy. So one wonders. This is all speculation, but one wonders.
I was wondering when the disclaimer was coming.
Yeah. Oh, well, I've got other disclaimers coming up. But yeah, I mean, this picture is just magnificent. He just looks so good.
Is it lucky folks?
150. Yeah, it is. 115 retweets, 904 likes. So it's not just me here. I mean, he looks ferocious. And then my buddy Jake Heron, he works for RSL now, but he did a really great screen lock. That's on Zach Moss's Twitter feed too. So you can throw that up on your phone. And I mean, it's just, it's really the kind of thing that you look at and you go, yeah, football. That's in a sort of in a nutshell, that's what that picture is. And then Britton Covey had one too that got me really excited. No, Grant, don't look at me like that. And it's just really cool to have so many superior athletes on the Utah football team.
Okay.
Well, just two who were released pictures that were, you know,
that got you excited, to say the least.
Yes. Ugh, Grant.
All right. So
making comments.
A couple other quick hitters. First one is, I think it's John Rosenstein or something like that. It's disgusted me enough that I wanted to talk about it. But he, in a off-season power rankings poll he did.
Oh, my gosh.
He put the running Utes at 9.
I mean, this was that's just embarrassing. That demonstrates an embarrassing lack of knowledge about the conference.
No, you're exactly. It's, I mean, like, look, the Utes, it's like the, don't finish
the ESPN
in the bottom
power
half.
Rankings had the Utah football team in at 8th. And a bunch of media members retweeted it or talked about it. I'm like, what? Why? And they changed it.
They
moved
them
up to 6.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, that was really stupid. And this is similarly just, you don't know what you're talking about if you're putting the Utes down there. When was the last time they finished bottom half of the conference?
Probably not the first 1 or 2 years.
Yeah,
and since then,
it's ridiculous.
Been top half
and
ever
I know
since.
They're not big brands, so you're not going to put them ahead of UCLA when they've
Arizona.
Got a great recruiting class or Arizona. But it's ridiculous.
No,
ridiculous.
It totally is.
Just absurd.
And clearly, they don't know about the Larry Krzyzkowiak scheduling curve, which has clearly told us that this team is going to be great.
Great. Or at least Larry Krzyzkowiak thinks this team is going to be great.
He hasn't been wrong.
Nope, he hasn't yet.
He's
been
spot
on.
He's only underestimated. Mm-hmm. So either way, whatever. But interesting,
I'm really looking
note.
Forward to two national championships in the span of 12 months. I'm just – I had somebody tweeting at me who was like, blah, 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 you know, or upset that I was pouring out too much Kool-Aid and – I respect that. I'm going to continue to pour out the Kool-Aid. But yeah, I'm just messing with that particular I can't remember your Twitter handle right now, but it's you I'm talking to and teasing about the 5 national championships the Utes are going to win in the next 6 months. 10. Wait, 10. Now it's 10. I'm just going to keep going. Heisman, 2 Heismans, and basketball player trophy guy.
Naismith,
sure. Yeah. That one, too. Why not? A couple of those.
Player of the year.
Trophy case. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Number one draft pick.
So another interesting tidbit on quick hitters that I wanted to talk about is, and it's not University of Utah, but interesting nonetheless, is that Utah State is going to have, I think it's around 7 games streamed on Facebook exclusively.
That's so cool. That's great, because Utah State's not on TV.
No, they're not.
Like, it's hard, even if you live in Logan, to watch the games. So it's really cool that they're going to be accessed.
Yeah, and with casting and different things, I mean, you're going to be able to watch it on your TV. But the thing that's intriguing to me as a Utah fan is what the Pac-12 does when the contracts are up, and now you've got maybe Facebook, Amazon, Twitter. These are all social media companies or big conglomerate type companies that have paid big money for live sports. And then you have, you know, the likes of ESPN and Fox and everyone else in the game right now that are all trying to get live sports content. And it's going to be interesting, because I've heard talks of that, you know, that these deals were going to get smaller because, you know, companies like ESPN and whatnot cannot afford to pay the big dollars that
Facebook is a huge, huge Amazon. Yeah, why not throw the Utes on Amazon Live?
Google.
God, that's
YouTube
a cool
TV.
Idea, isn't it? Amazon streaming live sports, but it's the next thing, right? I mean, what all of these people are looking for is, how can I get content no one else has?
Yep.
And the answer to that seems to be, one, you've got the exclusive series and movies that Amazon and Netflix are doing. Netflix could stream sports.
Oh, totally.
There's no reason why not.
Hulu.
They've got the infrastructure there. And then the other thing that nobody else can get is live sports. You don't know what's going to happen. You can't watch it in replay. It's a unique opportunity to actually get revenue and ad revenue, because everything else, I mean, you want to watch, you know, your episode of, gosh, I don't know, we watch Jane the Virgin, right, on the CW. You can skip the ads. So it's hard to convince people to do anything other than pay for that content. Sports isn't like that because of the way it works. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. And the other aspect of that, we're talking about, well, how is the Pac-12 going to contract with these streaming services? The other question is, how is the Pac-12 going to contract with the schools? Because they're not necessarily currently the owners of these rights. That is, they may own Utah's TV rights and radio rights and other, but maybe they don't yet own Utah's right to stream content locally on their Facebook page. I mean, that's a complicated kind of gray legal area that hasn't really been sorted out. And the question then is, does Utah keep those rights and sell them individually? Do they probably combine with the other Pac-12 schools to, you know, leverage their negotiating power? And then does that increase the payouts for the Utes? I mean, it's a fascinating area, both in terms of what's next for sports and what's next, you know, legally and structurally for the Pac-12. So it's cool stuff.
Yeah.
At least
totally.
for me, legal contract nerd. I mean,
I'll try to
stuff.
Keep you off the legalese. Yeah.
Sorry, but it's so exciting. IP
right.
law. This is, everybody's here for the IP law podcast, right? Anyway, what I want to talk about is some recruiting news. We got one more quick hitter, kind of recruiting news. Taylor Katoa, you may remember him as highly touted local linebacker prospect. I think 3 stars on Rivals, 4 on 24/7. He is leaving USC on a mission after his freshman year. Now, he missed 2017 with a knee injury, And then last year, USC signed five linebackers, 4 4-star and 1 5-star linebackers. And Taylor's a mid 3-star, low 4-star recruit. So he's suddenly looking at a roster that really doesn't have room for him, and is headed off on a mission. And was a, I mean, this was one of these kids who everybody's saying, oh, we think he's going to go to Utah. Kept saying, and then suddenly USC, which happens because they're USC and that's what they do. But maybe in 2 years after he's back from his mission, his recruitment will have opened up. He could probably get a injury hardship waiver for his missed 17 year and still have five to play for, and could go anywhere he wants. And second choice with more need for him and more room on the roster will be Utah. So it's one to watch. I mean, way too early to make any kind of prediction, but if you're reading the tea leaves, that's what's happening here.
I was about to say, he hasn't left yet.
Yeah. So, you know, don't I tweeted all those facts and I had about 7 people say, yeah, he's going to be a Ute. And it's like, well, let's slow down on that particular train. I agree. That's kind of the conclusion, but it's not a fact by any stretch of the imagination. Speaking of touted 3-star players switching to USC at the last moment, starting to look like offensive lineman Beano Schirmer, who we talked about a couple weeks ago in my solo show, I think, is not going to be a Ute. He signed a financial aid agreement, not a letter of intent because of the timing, and can go anywhere he wants. And if you see him on the field this week, let me know, because that means he's a Ute. Otherwise, he'll be in LA, which is where he's from. So we'll see. His sister goes to USC, so he may want to stay close to family. I don't know. But there have been one other bit of recruiting news was cornerback recruit Aaron Lowe. This is another SoCal kid, 3-star recruit. I do not know why this particular young man only has 3 stars. He's 6'1", close to 200 pounds, runs 4.4 40, was timed by the Utes at a camp. That's when they offered him. Really good film, aggressive hitter, really good ball skills, all of the physical traits you want. So why is he at 3 stars? I don't know, but he's already picked up 3 offers since he committed to the Utes, including Louisville. So the Utes are going to have to play defense on this one for a long, long time. And is one to watch for the early signing period. You really want him to sign in December if he doesn't indicate some second thoughts.
Yeah, no, it's always interesting, the star ratings. I mean, this is why it's, to me,
he doesn't have any offers. Utah was his first D1. Now he's got Louisville in. And Scally and Shaw are so respected that their offering and his committing is going to hugely bump up his profile and is going to pick up a lot of nice offers, which may be what he was trying to do by committing to the Utes straight out, which is, you know, that's a rational thing for him to do, and it's going to really open up his recruiting. And so, you know, sometimes sometimes you make the play and sometimes you get played, and we don't know which one this is going to be yet. So we'll see. The star rating is low. I mean, this kid has, I don't want to oversell him, right? He's not Jalon Johnson. He's not a lock, but he's got that look of the Utah player who in 4 years, they're a first or a second or a third round draft pick. And you're like, how did everybody else miss this? This should have been obvious to everyone. And there, Scally and Shaw have done it again. And you never know which of the 5 3-star cornerbacks are going to be that guy. But this one, I mean, he just feels that way. He's got those big long arms and the right speed and the right hips and everything's
Joseph,
there.
I thought you were trying not to talk him up more. Now he's a top pick in the NFL
draft.
No,
that's what I'm saying. He fits the mold of that set, that bucket of recruits that Utah always seems to have, that not every single one of them, but one of them is going to
Look at Whittingham last week. He said it himself. It's like, as much as they're getting higher level recruits, finger quotes or whatever you want to say with the star ratings. The development of players will always be critical to the University of Utah.
And projecting physical development is something they're particularly good at, especially with regard to the D-line. I mean, that's where the D-line success comes from.
Which, I don't know, how much more recruiting you got? Because I'm wanting to talk about some Whittingham lines.
I've got some basketball recruits. We got two new basketball commits, and I don't know anything about them. I wanted to ask you. We've got Mason Falslev. He's a guard.
And he's
6'3". He's a big guard. He prefers to play point in high school and is generally projected to continue to play point guard, even though he's kind of a combo at that height. And is JD's cousin, I believe. So it's time to stop sharing that picture of JD Falslev crying on Twitter. No, it's not. It's never time to stop sharing that picture. Don't listen to me. And then Utah also got a commit from another local kid, Matthew Van Komen, who is listed, depending on who you ask, at between 7 feet and 7 foot four. This guy's enormous. About 240. He's thin, but he's not reedy. You know, I think he'll be able to put weight on his frame pretty well, at least over the next 2 years. He was offered while shooting a free throw in ages ago by Chris Koviak. He was shooting a free throw, and Larry just walked out on the court and said, "I'm offering you a scholarship." Helps being 7'4". You know what I mean? I mean, nobody's not gonna offer you at that height. And so that's pretty exciting. Both of those recruits are widely regarded as excellent local players who should be able to make it a definite Pac-12 impact. I always worry about somebody who's taller than 7 feet tall because the human body just starts to stress out at that size. And I worry about microfractures and knees and backs and all that stuff because they're lumbering around carrying all that height on.
Well, I mean, look, he's 7'4". Like, by all means, why not?
I've heard 7'3" from the most reliable sources. He's very big. It's not one of these, "Oh, we got a 7-footer. He's 6'11 and 3/4". This guy is well over 7 feet.
Right. And by all means, it's always good to have a 7-footer. It's interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see where he has the timing and everything that's associated with being that defensive paint shutdown player. That is probably why he's really being recruited. I haven't heard anything about him being very gifted offensively. But
I think he averaged 17 points in his senior year.
He's 7'4".
Yeah, right. All he has to do is walk over there and put it in. It's like me playing basketball against my 5-year-old daughter, and she's like, "Get closer to the ground. This isn't fair." That's what these poor high school kids are thinking.
I mean, seven-star recruit.
Everybody heard it first.
Yeah. I mean,
Gonzaga offer was a real deal. That was they went after him pretty hard. So
yeah. So I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to be super excited.
Yeah.
I'm more excited about the current class versus what's going on. And I want to see this season. I always say this caveat, right? I'm just not the biggest guy into recruiting. And then because I don't want to get my emotions entangled with a bunch of 16, 17, 18-year-old kids making a choice. And ultimately, it's more about the coaches, how they can develop their players. I trust our coaching staff.
Yeah.
So,
and these guys have the underlying sort of tools to be developed the way that you want them to.
The other thing is when you're talking, what's the other kid's name already? The Falslev kid. I mean, that's a 2020 commit.
Everybody, grain of salt. I just wanted to mention them because it's a really good start to the 2020 season. And
I mean, it's always good to get the local kids.
One wonders it feels like over the last 3-4 months, the tide is turning a little bit with regard to Larry's ability to land high profile. Both of these kids are high profile kids. They're kids that other power schools were talking to and looking at. So it's good. It's good. It's not great, but it's good.
All right. Well,
but yeah, let's talk some. You want to talk Whittingham right now?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about some of your takeaways from Whittingham as far as his. I assume this is the press conference as part of Pac-12 Media Days.
Yes. So he did one on the podium and then a few minutes with the guys at ESPN 700. This is all with the other one and pretty similar, I think. There were some other things. I know you want to talk about some things, but. Pretty similar in terms of content. One thing that I thought was interesting, we were talking about the red shirt rule and how they were going to play it. And he was asked that question. A smart reporter asked him the question. And he laid it out, and I think he's got a really smart strategy here where he's talking about it's about the position group. If you're in trouble and you're worried about depth and you might need somebody to replace an injury, you're going to save the guy for when you need them. But if you've got a lot of depth and you're not concerned, then maybe you're not. So given that, what do you think are the areas where we're likely to see redshirt players get some time?
Well,
we have lots of depth and the ability to experiment.
Well, first one that comes to mind is that we won't be seeing that on quarterback.
Right, there is
no reason to play Tuttle
at quarterback.
Yeah, we're not going to play Tuttle, unless Huntley gets injured. So, maybe against BYU.
Right,
we'll be running away with that.
If you get to a point, yeah, that's right. We're going to put him out there halfway through the first quarter, up 35-0, which has happened recently. So I'm not that far out there. But, yeah, you might start seeing him late, but we'll probably save Tuttle for if he needs him. And, of course, with quarterbacks, that's a question of, well, what will Tuttle tolerate? Because there's always some lean on somebody. Well, maybe he'll transfer if you don't do this. I don't feel like Tuttle's that kid, but some of them
are. I agree. Other thoughts? I didn't think it's going to impact. I don't see anything with running backs playing early.
Unless they're planning to redshirt DHC, they might give
finally
him
give
some
him
time.
The redshirt.
Yeah, and so they might give him some time.
Move.
Yeah,
especially with Shine, you give him the number two role next year against behind Zach.
Uh-huh.
So that actually, would be a good idea. But play him. I would save that. I think that's the last. That's the end of the season in case something happens because, unfortunately, Shine's gone down 2 years in a row.
And but running back's just a brutal position, so much contact.
I think one position where you end up playing those four games and maybe earlier would be your wide receivers where we need experience.
That's what I was thinking, and just giving everybody a chance. And Utah's got a lot of wide receivers, but there's a lot who – aren't likely to break the rotation, but are quite talented. Terrell Perriman comes immediately to mind as somebody who's really good and has a high ceiling, but probably isn't going to beat Britton Covey for time this year,
Right.
And then with Derek Vickers is official now. We've talked about him a little bit, and they're trying to figure out where they're going to put him on the field because he's a electric runner with the ball in his hands. He's really, really good, and it's kind of a too quick and skilled to keep off the field, but he's not as good as Covey, and you don't want two Britton Coveys on the field. This Vickers like 5'9", 5'10", so not much bigger than Covey. So what do? You put him in a scout back and, third and long, kind of weird spots. But that's the kind of thing that might make a lot of sense for a kid like Perriman or some of the other freshman wide receivers, Brian Thompson, maybe get some time, but still get a redshirt year and keep more eligibility.
Yeah, I think the other position group, not that I know that it's the great fit for this, but I think this is, to me, the trickiest position group to do it with is the offensive line.
It'd be great if you could do it, but I agree. The
'cause you need that.
Technical challenges there are substantial.
Yeah, you need the chemistry. Mm-hmm. You need the time of working together to really be a really good, cohesive offensive line.
I want to see Simi Moala out there. He's a new tackle. He's 6'7", 294. Still too small, but it'd be great to get him out there the second half against Weber State and BYU.
He's bigger than Lowe right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, his attack is 6'7", so 294 is not probably big enough for him to play tackle at that level.
So here, other position groups, since you asked me, I would expect the ends on the defensive line. I would expect those guys to play a little bit earlier.
Yeah. Also looking at linebacker, I'm thinking,
yeah,
in particular, not so much because I don't think the depth at linebacker is great, but what's cool about the extra games here is that you can try guys out in live game situations, pull them back, and save their red shirt, right? So you're hearing buzz. I continue to hear buzz about Devin Lloyd.
Your boy.
Yeah, he's my boy. But who knows, right? I mean, you got to see how he's going to perform.
Right.
What's nice about this is you say, all right, Devin, go out there and go, you know, go pin your ears back. And if it really works, you say, well, maybe we don't need a red shirt for this kid. But if it doesn't, you can pull him back and still have two or three games left for injury service. Another guy's Brian Pirtle, who might have a lot of use at linebacker this year, but is probably going to wind up playing defensive end or defensive tackle even, depending on how much weight he puts on. And so, but right at this moment is more valuable as an edge rush linebacker and may get – would be a good person to put in that circumstance.
Yeah. So also just to cover all of our bases, I don't see a lot of – well, I guess secondary, I think you save towards the end of the season. I don't think I feel like injuries, as much as it's very deep and very good, I like having a lot of depth there. And if there's you're blown a kid's red shirt for those four games, I'd rather save that till later.
And I don't think you get as much benefit from the field time at that position either. So that's I mean that's the other thing. He also singled out a couple of names. Nobody you wouldn't expect. Covey, COC Mariner. Who is COC Wilson? He's changed his. It used to be George Wilson, and now he was. Then he was COC Wilson. Now he's COC Mariner. So keep up. Zach Moss is RB1. Armine Shine is RB2. He was asked about Nick Ford, Chase Hansen, and Solomon Ennis, and gave really positive answers about how they were looking in camp. That's not quite the same thing as, hey, who are you interested in? And he just picks COC Mariner out of his head.
Yeah.
But still good to hear, especially I think Nick Ford, who I've said is one of my main people I'm watching. And then Solomon Ennis has the opportunity. He's a four-star wide receiver, number one or number two in Arizona. Has the opportunity to contribute immediately if he really blows the doors off. So it's cool to see that he's excited about him. Yeah, he talked about kickoffs. He loves kickoffs, so he was sad about the idea of losing kickoffs. But at the end of this whole thing, but if it keeps the players safe, you know, we'll get rid of the kickoffs.
Well, isn't that one of the highest concussion
plays?
Because you're just full on train.
Yeah, everybody's going as fast as they can. My other issue with kickoffs is they're not your best players, right? So it's one thing for Chase Hansen to be putting his head on the line, or Tyler Huntley putting his head on the line because he's looking at the NFL someday. But if your fifth-string linebacker is flying down the field and getting cracked on the skull, the only thing that kid's getting out of his college experience is his degree, and I want him to be able to, you know, read
it.
So, So I think that that's there's a lot of reason why kickoffs are problematic. And they to be clear, they're not getting rid of kickoffs this year, but they're changing some of the rules. There's like a two-man wedge formation that you used to see that they've made not allowed, and they're talking about maybe implementing fair catch and some stuff like that to try and cut down on the number of kickoff returns and the number of high-speed collisions on kickoffs. And I think the ultimate result is probably going to be you score, you give the ball to the other team, they start on the 35, and that's just how it works.
Yeah, it's kind of the obvious future. Honestly.
And then one more quick thing was about scheduling. He said, I don't really care if the out-of-conference schedule is easy because we play 9 games in a really hard conference. If we went to 8 games, we should schedule somebody who is tougher. And then also said everybody regardless of conference, should have to play the same number of conference games, which is just such a no-brainer. But, you know, here we are in this kind of ridiculous world where, you know, SEC teams get an extra bye week and Pac-12 teams don't.
Yeah, it's a disadvantage, honestly. I mean, where do you sit? Should it be 8 or 9? Or do you just – you don't care – I don't care. I just want it to be the same.
I really could care less. Whittingham's at 8 or 9 or 10. I definitely don't want 10. I think 8 or 9 is the right number. But I don't care. I think I like 9 better because
I like 9 better too,
higher.
I think.
But if everybody said 8, that's fine. And I think there's some like egalitarian reasons to do 8 because you're pulling more lower level programs into high level stadiums and getting more of an interplay between teams and more upset opportunities. So there's arguments both ways between 9 and 8. I don't care really. I think slight prefer 9, but I just want it to be the same for everyone.
Exactly. I just want it to be the same. It's ridiculous that a team or a conference is being eliminated from the playoff before they play. You know, they're not getting eliminated by playing a game in the playoff. They're being eliminated before, and yet no one's on the same playing ground because either teams are 8 games or 9, or they, you know, there's not 2 divisions like in the Big 12. Like, it, I'm sorry, you should have the same. The league should be the same sizes. They should have the divisions.
It should be uniform. It should be like every other sport in the world.
Exactly.
Where you have uniform distinctions, regional distinctions between teams. And I mean, it's dumb to even
eventually
have to
we'll
say
get
it
there.
Out loud. Yeah, I think so. I think next playoff contract will get closer, and then the one after that will be where we're there in like 2030. So that was his press conference, but then we've got the ESPN 700 conference, and there was something, or was that Chase Hansen's interview?
Yeah, then? So the thing is, we were talking about things we wanted to see in fall camp, and I was starting to wonder, based on some of the questions to Chase, and what are some of the storylines going into the season. And so I don't want to get into depth about it, because we could do a whole episode on that probably.
And will probably next week.
So, but one of the ones I want to throw out there for you is they asked Chase about injuries and late season play, which has been, unfortunately, a growing trend for the University of Utah and the month of November specifically. And so that's something I want to talk about. I wonder, and what I really liked was they asked Chase, what are you changing to not get injured? And his response was, I play the way I play. I'm not going to go out there and try to change the way I play. If I get injured, I'll rehab, get back as soon as I can. But in the violent game of football, those things happen. But I'm not going to change who I am as a player.
And I think that's a good answer. And the real answer to the problem is depth. The answer is being able to fill in behind Chase Hansen with somebody we like almost as much. And we don't have that at key positions, particularly tackle, guard, and linebacker now. And so that's why those injuries hurt, whereas when you know, a running back goes down, there's another guy. So it's all about depth for me. Although I will say Hansen's new weight looks good and reinforces my hope that that's going to lead to some health for him, that his joints and bones are going to be better protected than they were at 20 pounds down.
Yeah, can someone get a picture of Chase for Joseph out on Twitter?
He enjoys
Chase's new build as a linebacker.
You know
can
why?
We get a
you know why
flexing
it is?
Picture
it's
for
because
him.
You guys, I mean, you haven't met me in person, but I'm this little Jewish lawyer, right? I'm just this little guy, and I just get such a kick out of the physical power of athletes. I used to tutor them and at the Burbage, and I remember once I was meeting with Freddie Brown, who really never needed tutoring. He's a very, very bright man. But he wanted me to answer a couple of sociology questions. And so then we're talking about whatever. And I said, well, you're a lot bigger than me. So you might, you know, we're talking about his NFL size and his prospects. And I mentioned that he was a lot bigger. He's like, no, you're normal size guy. You're not too much smaller. And I said, stand up. Come here. And so we stand up and he walks over to me. And I mean, for one, I'm not tiny, I'm 5'8", but I'm up to the like mid part of his chest. And he's got these pecs that are like on either side of my ears because his chest sticks out so far. And he looks down at me and he chuckles and he goes, I am pretty big, aren't I? So I just enjoy it. I get a real kick out of the physical power of these guys. They work hard for it, and it's cool.
Oh, no, they do.
The other thing from 700 that was great was they complimented Coach Witt's shoes, and they asked him if they were Yeezys, which is a Kanye West designed shoes. And he said, "What's a Yeezy?" And they said, "Oh no, it's the Kanye shoes." And he goes, "Kanye, is that a shoe manufacturer?" And I just loved how he has no life outside of the four corners of the football field and doesn't know anything else in the entire world. It's kind
well
of
and fun. by the time Chase got to ESPN 700, he wasn't even wearing shoes.
Yeah, he was barefoot. They were
socks only.
Relaxed. It was a relaxed environment there at the Pac-12 media days. But we're kind of over time here. We've got more stuff to talk about, but guess what? There's a lot of weeks ahead of us, and we've got fall camp now. We're going to have practice reports. We're not going to go to every practice. I'll probably get to one or two, not this week, but next week, and we'll talk about that and everything else and just keep chatting. You got anything else for him, Grant?
Yeah, just to give you a heads up, if you don't recall, when Ute Talk started out, we were a 2-podcast-a-week show. It's looking like that might be happening again with a 2 additional co-hosts coming on for once a week. And so more Ute coverage, more to listen to. Please let us know what you think as it comes along, and let us know what you think now. Reviews, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, you know the drill, guys. Let us know what you think.
We need you to listen. We need you to tell us what you think. I hope everybody's having a great day. And with that, I'll leave you with a...
Go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk. Brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalkPodcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.